Good morning.
Okay, Tov.
The shiur this morning is going to be about the Haftorah for the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Don't ask me why I chose the second day of Rosh Hashanah. If I would have chosen the first, you would have said, why the first and not the second? Whatever it is, I like the Torah readings and the Haftorah readings of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and a whole year long. And I'm afraid already to make that statement that you'll laugh at me that this is one of my favorite Haftorahs. Okay, but it certainly is. There's no question about it. And you will see in the course of the Haftorah that there are themes here that really run like a fine thread through all of Tanakh. The Haftorah for the second day of Rosh Hashanah appears, it's in Sefer Yirmiyahu. And as we go through it, we're going to try and figure out why indeed it was chosen as the Haftorah for the second day. One thing I will say in that connection at the very beginning, the Gemara Masechta Rosh Hashanah says, Sarah, Rachel, and Chanah. Sarah, or better, we'll put it in the order of Sarah, Chanah, and Rachel. These three women were remembered by God on Rosh Hashanah, and the decision was made on high that they will give birth. Sarah had waited 90 years, 90 long years to have a child. The decision that they will have children, Sarah, Rachel, and Chanah. The Torah reading of the first day, the Torah reading of the first day of Rosh Hashanah is the birth of Yitzchak, that's Sarah. The Haftorah for the first day of Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, where Chanah gives birth. The Haftorah that we are learning today is the Haftorah that's going to mention those great, grand, majestic psukim of Kol B'Roma Nishma, the voice is heard in Roma, Rachel Mevaka Alvaner, Rachel cries for her children, Ki Einenu. So therefore we see that Rachel, Sarah, Chanah, and Rachel are significant parts of the reading of the Torah and the Haftorah on Rosh Hashanah. But there are going to be many other themes that we are going to see in this Haftorah. So let's begin. We're going to begin with the text. Komar Hashem, so says God, Motzochein Bamidbar, Israel found favor in God's eyes in the desert. Am Sevidei Choret, they were a people who had survived the sword, Holoch Lahargio Yisrael, and he's taking them in order that they should find rest, tranquility in Eretz Yisrael, or the people of Israel should find tranquility. Of course, Mepharshim say that it's talking about Jews going out of Egypt, and there in the desert, the relationship was developed between God and the Jewish people. Ultimately, that he should be able to bring them to the place of their safety, security, tranquility, and peace. Of course, there's no question about it that the pasuk can very well be understood in terms of the context of our own time. Am Seride Chorev, a people who had survived from the sword. The Rebbein Shem brings the remnants, the exhausted and emaciated remnants of Klal Yisrael, out of the Shoah to Eretz Yisrael. Merachok Hashem Nireli. From afar, God appears to me. May very well mean that this is Yirmiyahu saying, these are things that I heard a long time ago. It may also mean that, you know, over the distance of time, I'm able to see the Rebbein Shlalem. Sometimes we can't perceive what his plan for us is. It can take us 50 years or 100 years or a sweep of history to be able to see step by step what the Revelation had in mind. We don't necessarily see it in our own lifetime. We, of course, are different. I would say we are different than just about any other generation that preceded us in history. We're able to see, we can see within the historic context exactly step by step what took place from Shoah to Eretz Yisrael, to the growth, the development of the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael. And we can see the tapestry before us. We have a general idea of what's going to happen. We don't know the details of what's going to happen, but the broad outline, is there before us. It's there before us. Merachok Hashem nirali va'ahavat olam avtich. The Revelation says, "My love for the Jewish people was an eternal one." Al kein mishachti chachosed. Therefore, I drew you with chesed, with kindness. And I promise you, and of course, in this chapter, in Tanakh, we will see again something that I talked about a few weeks ago, and I think I will be reminding you of this every so often from time to time. I said that there's a debate that goes on and been going on for 60, 70, 80 years. What should we call the period of time in which we live? And people can get very, very hot under the collar, and it can be the source of serious altercations, arguments. Those who say that this is the end of Golos, those who say that this is Atchalta de Geula, the beginning of redemption. Those, of course, who say that this is the worst Golos we've ever been in. Yeah. Golos by Eden, so the Eibush de Lapi. Then, of course, there are those who say that this is Reshit, Tzmichat, Gulatenu. You know, religious Zionists say in Shul, on Shabbos, and Yontif, the Tefillah L'Shlom HaMedina, which was written by Rav Yitzchak Isaac Halevi Herzog, Zecher Tzadok L'Vecha, the great second Chief Rabbi of Israel. Reshit, the beginning of the flowering of our redemption. But people can get very, very upset about this. I don't see anything to get upset about. I mean, it's clear that it's Reshit Tzmichas Gulos Seinu, but I'm not going to take any position on that. In order to keep the peace amongst my grandchildren, who cover a wide spectrum. They go to all sorts of yeshivot and ulpanot and the works. And the only thing that I at least believe that even though they may find themselves in the darkest of yeshivas, they carry within their hearts the hashkafa of Saba. So I told them very clearly, I came up with a formula that made everybody happy. Yeah. And that nobody can disagree with it. And I mentioned it a few weeks ago. I consider, without doubt, there's a question about it. The period in which we live is the period of Kiyum Divrei HaNeviim, the fulfillment of the words of the prophets. There's not a soul in the world who can disagree with it. And we're going to see. Look what Yirmiyahu is saying in the name of God. This is 2,500 years ago or more. Od evneich v'nivneit, I will yet build you and you will be revealed. Betulat Yisrael, you virgin of Israel. Od tabdi tu payech, you're going to take you will be adorned with your drums, the atzot v'nechol misachakim, and you're going to go out to dance. Od tit'i keramim, you're going to plant vineyards in the mountains of Shomron. I promise you, go to Hare Shomron and you're going to see vineyards that haven't been there for 2,000 years. Oh, Tith'i Kramim Bahare Shomron. Not'u notim v'chilelu. Those who plant it, and they will ultimately redeem it and they will be able to eat it. We see that. We see it in our very own in our lives right now. Ki yesh yom, There will be a day. He's talking about what's going to be in the future. We already experienced, we know it. It's an unusual period of history in which we live. Lo yu'uman. My Bubbas and my Zaydas wouldn't have believed it. Ki yesh yom. There will be a day, Karuno Tzvim Bahar Efrayim. There will be a day that the Notzvim, the word here means the guardians, those who watch, the Shomrim, are going to call out in the mountains of Ephraim, in the Shomron, Kumu v'nale Tzion el Hashem Elokeinu, let's arise and go up to Tzion, to God our God. Can you imagine Yirmiyahu having said that at a time when the Shomron had already been desolate, destroyed, there were no Jews living there, the 10 tribes had long ago gone into exile, and here the Babylonians are banging against the gates of Yerushalayim. Everything is beginning to crumble completely. Israel is on its way out into exile. Jews are in shackles, they're in chains, and his prophetic mind's eye sees another day that will come where there will be Jews in Yehuda v'Shomron, and they're going to plant vineyards, and they're going to say, let's go up to Yerushalayim. Watch. Ki chom Hashem, because so says God. Ranu li Yaakov simcha, sing for Yaakov with joy. V'tzahalu b'rosh hagoyim, and be full of happiness as you stand above all of the nations of the world. Hashmiu, let it be heard. Hallelujah, v'imru, praise and say. Hosha Hashem et amcha et she'edit Yisrael. God, Hashem, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Save your people, the remnant of Israel. We saw it before our very eyes in our day. Great pasuk that's coming up, which also happens to be a theme in the davening of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Kibbutz Goliot, the ingathering of the exiles. Hinini me'viotam, behold, I will bring them Eretz Tzafon, for the land of the north. V'kibatzdim, and I will gather them in Miyarket Eretz, from the very ends of the earth. Bum, in them will be Iveh. Who will come? No Jew will be left behind. Was that Mordechai ben David or Avram Fried? No Jew will be left behind. I'm going to bring the blind, the lame, Horov Yoledet Yachtov, the woman who's pregnant, the one who has given birth. Kohol Gadol Yoshuvu Heno, a great community is going to return here. So here it is. I'm minding my own business this morning. And minding my own business means reading the Jerusalem Post. I think it's Daf 7. And the Jerusalem Post says this morning that nearly all of the plans are in place to bring up the B'nai Menashe to Eretz Yisrael. See the big article on it. B'nai Menashe. This pasuk excited me first when they brought that 36-hour airlift in which Ethiopian Jews were brought to Eretz Yisrael over a Friday night, a Shabbos, a Sunday. It was an awesome scene. My Tzoy Shabbos, I remember, they showed scenes of thousands of Jews coming off planes. It was unbelievable. I remember that Rosh Hashanah, I also said, Pshat, in this pasuk, may very well be that Yirmiyahu saw it, in his prophetic mind's eye, but we should have understood that that's what the pasuk is talking about. There were 8 women who got onto those planes to Eretz Yisrael who were pregnant and arrived in Eretz Yisrael having given birth. So I wanted to learn pshat, that's what he meant when he said, Hora v'yoledet yachtav, the pregnant woman and the woman who gave birth, all one. same one, started the journey pregnant, came to Eretz Yisrael holding a baby in hand. It's awesome.
Oh,
I hold that Yirmiyahu saw this in advance 2,500 years ago or more. This is one of the classic great psukim of Kibbutz Golios. That's going to be a theme of Rosh Hashanah. V'hoya b'yom ha'hu yitoka b'shofar gadol in shofaros of Rosh Hashanah, and it shall be on that day the great shofar will be blown. Ubol ha'ovdim me'eretz Ashur, those who were lost in the land of Ashur, v'hanidochem, and those who were dispersed be'eretz Mitzrayim, and they're going to come back v'yishtachavu l'Hashem b'har HaKodesh b'Yerushalayim. That was Shlomo Karbach. You know, if we mention Avraham Fried and Mordechai ben David, Shlomo Karbach has to get that great song, that great song. And of course in Musaf you always have it. This is something that I don't understand, how Jews not living in Eretz Yisrael can, you know, V'karev pezudeinu mi ben ha-goyim. You know, since this is going on for the website, you know, you need a little music on the website too. V'karev pezudeinu mi ben ha-goyim unefutzoseinu gathering mi'akasei ha-horetz. We prayed for that for 2,000 years, and we happen to be living at a time that it's been fulfilled. Get on the first plane and come. Get up and come. This was all clearly described. The period in which we live is indeed the period of the fulfillment of the words of the prophets. We had made a comment in last week's shiur that more than a comment, we brought to your attention in last week's shiur that the two, Tshuva and Eretz Yisrael, are inextricably intertwined. The Parshat HaTshuva, we learned the Parshat HaTshuva in Parshat Nitzavim. V'hoya k'yavo alecho kol hadvarim ha'ela habrocho v'akolo, when all of these things shall come upon you, the blessing and the curse, the shafta, you should return al Hashem Elokecha. And then the Shav Hashem Elokecha Tzvotcho, God is going to return your captivity. In Yenidach HaKol B'Kitzei HaShavayim, God, it's in Slichas every day, and it's going to be in the Davening of Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. You're going to be dispersed out to the very ends of the heaven. From there, God is going to, and that's going to begin the process of a spiritual return to the Bavadish learning. And we also pointed out in that Parshat HaTshuva in Nitzavim, it says God is going to bring you back the Hitivicha, and he's going to be good to you, and he's going to make you more numerous than your fathers. So here, Jerusalem Post this morning, there are 7,800,000 people living in Eretz Yisrael. I didn't get to read, you know, in the morning I usually can only read the headlines. I didn't get into the article to find out how many are Jews. Certainly more than 6 million. 5 million point eight. Alright, so most probably by next Rosh Hashanah, there'll be 6 million Jews here. That's a very significant number. When we reach that, that's a very significant number. And one doesn't have to elaborate on that. I spoke at a bar mitzvah yesterday. I have nothing better to do with myself, you know. It was a young man, a bar mitzvah boy from Ranana. So, you know, people from Ranana came, people from other parts. So I talked to this young bar mitzvah boy. And I asked them, you know, people come to Yerushalayim. What do they see when they come to Yerushalayim? So I said, there are those who see the new light rail. The new light rail. So he said, Tedalcha Bachur Ban Mitzvah. Ban Mitzvah, boy, you should know, Yesh Od Arim Ba'olam Sheyesh Rakavot Kalot. There are other cities in the world that have light rails. I didn't want to say better, faster, nicer. It's our light rail. It's a Yiddish Yerushalayim light rail. We are very proud of it. We're very proud of it. I haven't yet been on it. I think I have to go to the mikveh first before I take my first ride on the light rail. But I told them that's not what you come to Yerushalayim for. There are those, of course, who may come to Yerushalayim because of the Manila Mall. And make no mistake, the Manila Mall is a gorgeous mall. But we know, those of us who are big travelers, Fahanin, I don't want to say Sheneva malls, but there are other beautiful malls all over the world. I told him, do you know how you're supposed to look at the Yerushalayim that you come to? You have to look at it the way Rabbi Akiva would look at it. You have to look at it the way Rabbi Akiva looked at Yerushalayim when Yerushalayim was an absolute ruins and he saw fox coming out of the Holy of Holies. Chachmei Yisrael cried, Rabbi Akiva laughed, and the great conversation, why are you laughing? Why are you crying? He asks them. Well, we're crying because look at all the desolation. He says, that's why I'm smiling. Because if the prophecy of destruction was fulfilled so precisely, then I am absolutely certain that the prophecy of redemption is also going to be fulfilled. And he quoted the great psukim in Zechariah, that as I told you once, I went to Rabbi Akiva's Keva, and I said those psukim over there, chapter 8 in Zechariah, oh, Yeshu Zekenim Zekenos, the elderly are going to be sitting in the streets of Yerushalayim, Ish Mishanto Biyato, holding a cane, Yeladim V'yeladot Mesachakim V'rechovoteh, our children are going to be playing in the streets of Yerushalayim. Wow. You understand? What Zechariah said and what Rabbi Akiva said, we see it before our eyes every day. And if you don't get excited when you see it, you got a problem. So I told this little bicycle, when you walk through the streets of Yerushalayim, you have to see the fulfillment of Divrei Hanavi. You can look at the Rakevet Kala and you can take a ride on it. You can go buy something at Manila, but that's not the essence of Yerushalayim. The essence of Yerushalayim, the people. Bone Yerushalayim Hashem. Who builds Yerushalayim? The Rebbeinu builds it. How does he build it? Bricks. Balatot. Nidechei Yisrael Yechanes. He gathers in the exiles of Israel with the bricks. The human, the Jews, we are the bricks of Yerushalayim. Hineni me'iviotam, again, I bring them the Eretz Safon from the land of the north, v'kibatz timi arketei aretz, bom iver upiseach, the blind and the lame, horev yoledet yachdov, kohol gadol yoshuvu heyo, a great community. That's what I saw, the Ethiopians were a great community and they came as a community. Came as a community. Bivchi yavaru. They're going to come with tears, with weeping. Bivchi yavaru v'tachanunim ovilein. O v'tachanunim, and with prayers I will bring them. Olichein ol nachalei mayim. I'm going to bring them to rivers of water. Bederech yashar. To be straight. And then they came here as the crow flies. Straight. Bederech Yashor. Lo yu koshlu ba. No one is going to stumble. No stumbling. Straight. Ki hayiti li Yisrael av v'Ephraim b'chorihu. I was a father to Yisrael. That's of course a theme of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Avinu Malkeinu ki hayiti li Yisrael av the Ephraim is my Bechor, my beloved one. Ephraim represents the 10 tribes. They're going to come back. They're going to come back. As we see, the B'nai Menashe. Shibud v'Hashem goyim v'hagidu b'im imechok. Listen to the word of God, you nations, and tell all the islands through the world, distant v'imru. What a beautiful phrase. What a beautiful phrase. Now it moves me. Mizore Yisrael yekabtzenu. The one who scattered Israel. Mizore Yisrael yekabtzenu. The one who scattered Israel will gather them in. Ushimaro, and he's going to take care of them. He's going to watch over them. Kiro edro, like a shepherd watches his shepsalach. You can count on that pasuk. Achmad nijed yimach shmoi v'zichrei has to know that pasuk. He thinks he's going to be able to lift a hand against the Jewish people. Tragic, tragic mistake. Yes.
I think that instead of his regular speech, Netanyahu should have read this at the UN.
Netanyahu did well, by the way.
Yeah, he
did well. He did well.
He read this.
All right. He reminded the world at least that his name is Binyamin. Sure, he could have read this. I could have given him another 50 texts to read. By the way, I did once give a prime minister a text to read.
Did he read it?
Before Shamir went to Madrid. I get a call from somebody in the Foreign Office. Rabbi, where does it say shalom, shalom, larachot v'lakarov? Peace, peace to the distant and the near. Amar Hashem, peace to all. I said, I'll tell you exactly where it is.
Yeah.
Like, you think I remember? I knew it wasn't Yeshayahu. But you know what else I knew? I knew that it's the Haftorah for Yom Kippur in the morning. So as I'm coughing on the phone, I pull out a Marzer of Yom Kippur. I open up, I see Nunches. I don't know if you said, huh? It's Yeshayahu, Nunches, etc., etc. And by the way, of course, he did quote Shalom, Shalom, Lachachok, Amar Hashem, Gurufatir. The fellow who worked in the Foreign Office happened to be a member of my shul. In other words, I could have left you with the impression that the Foreign Service chose one rabbi in all of Israel upon whom they could depend. Understand?
Oh, I know.
I mean, I could have. I should have kept you on a leash, understand, until I tell you the truth. So I remember my shuls. I told him, Rabbi, thank you very much, Rabbi. Okay. Mizore Yisrael yekabtzenu. The one who disperses Israel, he's going to gather them in Ushmaro, and he will guard them kiro edro like a shepherd. Mizmor leDavid, Hashem roi lo echzar. The Rebbeinu Shem is my shepherd. Shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me by sides to waters. Ubo, and they're going to come, Veridinu, and they are going to sing, Vimeron Tzion, on the heights of Tzion, Vinoharu, and they're going to flow, El Tu Hashem, to the goodness of God, Al Dagan, Al Tidosh, Vial Yitzhur. And there's going to be an abundance. There's going to be a great abundance of grain, of wine, of oil. There will be sheep and there will be cattle. The pasuk is describing there's going to be such shefa. How do you say that in English? Abundance. I made two forays into one of the new supermarkets near Harnof. There are two big supermarkets. One is Osherad and the other one is Rami Levi. Rami Levi I don't go into because there's never any parking space. There are place 500 cars there all the time. But I did walk into Osherad, and I'm telling you, after 10 minutes I had to turn around and walk out my head. Simply, there was so much stuff and so much of each thing. It's unbelievable. I thought back to 30 years ago, you had a face, a makolet with a few this and a few, and you take a look what's there. It's unbelievable, the chef of this country. How many countries in the world do you think you have something like this? Most countries in the world, you don't have it. This is a promise. The Rebbeinu Shlomo promised, and he's fulfilling it before our very eyes. And maybe the only thing that we think about when we go into Osher Ado or Rami Levi, I still remain loyal to Chipiko. We keep going to Chipiko. The only thing we think about is that the lines are too big. The cottage cheese costs 5 agorot more. You take a look at it, you have to think of this pasuk. You have to think of this pasuk. I'm going to bring you v'noharu, they're going to flow el tov Hashem, al dogon v'al tirosh al yitzah, v'al b'nei tzonu b'ka, v'haitan nafsham kigam raveh. And their soul will be like a well-watered garden. And this, of course, you will recognize. V'lo yosifu l'da'ava od. And they will no longer have agony, unhappiness. This is what we here in Eretz Yisrael add. When we come to Menachem Avol, Amakim Menachem Etchem B'Tov, Sharav Eli Tzim Yerushalayim, V'lo tosifu l'da'ava od. Oz tismag betulada machol, then the young girl is going to be full of joy and dance. Ubachurim uzakenim yachdav. By the way, this is nearly the same prophecy as the prophecy of Zechariah. You can have the young and the old. Ubachurim uzakenim yachdav. V'hafachti etlam l'sasona. I'm going to turn over their mourning and turn it into joy. V'nichamtim, and I will console them. V'simachtim, and I will give them joy, me yigonam, from their unhappiness. What beautiful, beautiful prophets. V'niveti nefesh ha'kohanim edoshen. And I will satisfy the desire of the kohanim with fatness. V'ami etuvi yisbo. My people are going to be sated with my goodness. It's unbelievable. We have kol tov shebo'olam. Kol tov, we have everything you want over here. Do I have to repeat it again? Yeah, I'll repeat it again. Is it on the website, Bela? If you want to speak to God... It's not on the website. Not yet. If you want to speak to God, you go to the Kotel. Get it straight, Ziegler. You want to speak to God, go to the Kotel. You want to see him, go to Shuk Machne Yehuda. That's what he's saying over here. That's where you see the Rebbeinu Shlomo, so to speak, in the flesh. Kibiyachol. Ko Amar Hashem. So says God, Kol Beroma Nishma. Oy, these great sukkim, Kol Beroma Nishma. A voice is heard on high. That's one of the mafarshim. There are two other pshatim. Kol Beroma, there was a place called Roma. And another pshat that Roma means a loud voice. There's a loud voice coming out, Kol Beroma Nishma, Nehi Bechi Tamrim. What unbelievable psukim. Wailing, bitter weeping. Rachel Mevaka Obanea. Rachel cries for her children. Mea Nolehi Nachem. She refuses to be consoled. Obanea Kianenu. She refuses to be consoled about her children who are no more. I think the last time I said this must have been about 7 or 8 years ago. You know my great word on this. Tell me you don't.
No. Okay. You want to hear it again?
You want to hear it again? Yeah, do you remember what it was?
No.
Okay, so don't tell me. Hey, Ziegler, we got you, okay? There are a few very difficult psukim in Torah. It says the following. Rachel came to Yaakov and she said to him, Hovoli Bonim, give me children. Listen carefully. Hovoli Bonim, give me children. V'yim'ayim enim knat meto anochi, I'm dead. The response of Yaakov is very difficult to understand. It says, V'yichar af Yaakov b'rochel. Yaakov got angry with Rachel, and he said to her, "Hatachat Elokim Anochi, am I in place of God? Hashem Monan Meich, who has withheld from you pre-poten the fruit of the womb." Very, very sharp words that he said. Of course, it's not logical what Rachel said. Rachel says, "Give me my children, and if not, I'm dead." But he can't do that. He can't deliver. Yaakov can't give it to her. I mean, so obviously what's happening over here, this is a woman who's in terrible pain. She doesn't have to say something that's logical. And he gets angry with her. He gets angry with her. So the Ramban brings on the spot of Medrash. It's also brought by the Mesillas Yesharim in chapter 4 of the Mesillas Yesharim. That God turned to Yaakov and he said, "Kach onin es hamaukos, is this how you answer a woman who's in pain?" God condemned Yaakov. I wonder, is that where it ended? Doesn't the Rebbeinu Shlom have to tell him, how do you answer and respond to a woman who is in pain? Could very well have been that Yaakov should have said, let's say another kapitel Tillim together. They most probably did that 1,000 times. Ah, I think there's something far, far deeper here in these psukim. Far, far deeper. Fast forward. It's the day of the Qurban Bet HaMikdash. Famous medrash that says, Yirmiyahu ran to the Marat HaMachpelah and he woke up Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov to tell them there's going to be a Qurban. And they stand up before the heavenly bar of justice, the Rebbeinu Shloim, they plead for the Jewish people. Moshe pleads, David pleads. All of them are rejected. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. And then Rachel comes in. And Rachel is the one. Oh. God listens to Rachel. The Medrash says, because Rachel told him, listen, you feel bad, Rebbeinu Shlom, that your people rejected you for somebody else. Take a look at what I did for somebody else. I gave up the greatest love of my life to my sister. I wanted to say a completely different pshat, and I think I once described the story. I had to speak at the Israel Center, the Alta Israel Center, 10 Rehov Strauss. It was a Matzoh Shabbos. And I had to talk on behalf of Evelyn Hayes, the guardian angel of the of Kever Rachel. And I didn't have a speech, and I was in desperate straits. It was a Mitzvah Shabbos. I worked very hard. I didn't know what to do. And then my son is driving me to the Israel Center, and we pass Binyanei HaUma, and I don't have anything yet, and I look heavenward, I say, Rebbeinu Shlom, I'm going to come in there to talk about Kever Rachel, and I'm going to be stuck, you know, it's going to be like a big bazillion. On Hashem Hoshiyana. By the time we got to Rehov HaNeviim, something began to gel. Then we made that left turn to park in front of the Israel Center. In those days, you know, you could park on Strauss any place you wanted. And I said the following. Fast forward from this conversation between Rachel and Yaakov. The scene is standing before the heavenly bar of justice. And Rachel has now just walked in. And Rachel, what do you think is Rachel saying? Havoli bonim, give me my children. V'yamayin, if not, I'm dead. And there's Yaakov standing on the side. What's he going to say now? What's the convention going to say? The convention is going to tell Rachel, listen, Rachel, you know, they sinned. They've done terrible things. I mean, I've got to have to punish them. And of course, Yaakov is waiting in the wings to say, kach onin etamukot. This is the way you respond to a woman who's in pain. And what did she say? She's mevako al bonero. Do you know what happens as a result of God's having told Yaakov, is this the way you answer a woman in pain? You know what the Chavashim is doing? He is making certain that when Rachel is going to turn to him and say, give me my children, and if not, I'm dead, he has no choice. Yaakov had a choice because Yaakov was still able to say, Hatachat olekim onochi, am I in the place of God? The Chavashim doesn't have it. You are God! But that's not really the way it happened. I'll tell you exactly the way it happened. Doesn't God have to tell Yaakov, how do you answer? Okay? I've told you off. But how do you answer? Oh, God told them exactly how to answer. And when do we find that out? In Parshat Vayechi. In Parshat Vayechi, Yaakov Avinu asks Yosef, I'll not take Bereni bin Mitzrayim, don't bury me in Mitzrayim, take me to Eretz Yisrael and bury me there. And then there's the great pasuk with the awesome Rashi. V'ani bevori mi Padan, and I, when I came from Padan, meto alai Rachel baderech. Rachel died on the road. And I didn't even take her into the city of Bethlehem to bury her. I buried her on the road. And the awesome Rashi, where Rashi says that Yaakov finally told Yosef, Al pi hadibur kvarti hasham, I buried your mother on the road over there. That was a direct command of God. That's why I did it. Al pi hadibur kvarti hasham, I buried her there on the road. Why? Because the Rebbeinu told me she's going to be buried there so that when her children are going to go into exile, she is going to rise above her kever and she's going to pray for Klal Yisrael. And you know what I'm going to tell her? V'shavu banim l'gvulam. I'm going to promise her that her children are going to come back. That's how you answer the Me'ukot. Yaakov Avinu didn't have to wait till the day of the Churban to know how things are going to play out before the heavenly court. He knew every step of the way. What's Rachel asking for? Rebbeinu Shlom, give me my children. She refuses to be consoled. Al boner ki einenu, about her children who are not. The word einenu is a fascinating word. We don't have time to go into a full treatment of the word einenu. Einenu means somebody who is alive, but not here. Einenu doesn't mean dead. Yaakov Avinu, when he hears his sons telling him the story of what happened in Egypt, they went down to Egypt and this fellow, Tzachnas Paneach, accused them of being spies. So they tell him, listen, we told this man that we were 12. V'ha'echad einenu. V'ha'echad einenu. Oh, that was a pretty good shiur. That was a long time ago. Yaakov Avinu picked up on that. For years they've been talking about Yosef in the house as Yosef, Olav Hashalom, Schuso Yogan Aleinu. But no, there was a slip of the tongue. We told this man in Egypt for her echod, Einenu. Oh! Did Yaakov Avinu pick that up? And then he turns to them and he says, all right, Shimon Einanu, V'Yosef Einanu, this one isn't, and that one isn't. You're going to take Binyamin? She prays for her children, Einanu. Koyam Hashem. There's going to be more significance to this than in previous generations. You'll see. There's something we learn here that is so powerful. Listen to this. The Rebbe Shem says to him, Mini kaleik mi bechi, withhold your voice from crying, ve'inechon mi ve'einayich mi dima, and your eyes from tears. T'yesh sachol fulateich lum Hashem v'shavu mi'eretz yeh, because there is reward for what you've done. They shall return, I promise you, they shall return to the land of the enemy. V'yesh tikval achariteich, and there is hope for the future. Lum Hashem v'shavu bonim l'dvulam, the children are going to return to their boundaries. You know what you learn? You know what we in our generation learn from this passage? If anybody has a doubt, does God listen to prayer? Here's the answer. Rachel prayed. Rachel, for that matter, pounded on the table and demanded. God promised. And we are the fulfillment of God's promise. Make no mistake. You're here because of Rachel Imenu. The mama, Rachel, begged that her children should come back. We're the kinder. We're back here. God listens to the prayer of Rachel. The shovel bottom the Kulam. Two promises. God promised the shovel may edit so they will return from the land of the enemy. And he also promised to shovel bonim l'gvulam, the children are going to return to their boundaries. This is talking about two separate and distinct kind of people. There are those, Chaim Waxman, the sociologist, in his book on American Aliyah. So he says, and we know it, there are two reasons that people come here. They come either by pull or by push. There are Jews who come because they have to come. All doors are closed. All doors in the world are closed. Come here. There are children who know that they're coming back l'gvulam. This is our land. We had once said this with regard to the great pasuk in Yeshayahu. 2 weeks ago it was the Haftorah. Mi ele ka'ov tu ufeno, who are these that fly like the cloud? V'chayonim el adubotehem, and like pigeons going back to their coats. Famous word of Avron Yitzchak Isaac. Yitzchak HaKohen Cook, there are two descriptions here: those who come like the cloud, and those who are pigeons going back home. He says two kinds of Jews are going to come back to Eretz Yisrael. There are those that are going to be like the cloud. The cloud has no inner mechanism that navigates it. The clouds go where the wind blows. There is no will, desire, plan for the cloud. There are Jews who are going to come back like clouds because all forces in the world are going to be sending them in one direction because there is no other place to go. But then there are others. There are others who have a homing mechanism built in. They know where home is, and they're going to be like the birds, the pigeons flying home. That's what the Rebbe Shem is telling Rachel. There are those for shovel who are going to return me Eretz from the land of the enemy. You're going to have no choice. They're coming here. They didn't choose it. The choice is made for them. But then there are bonim, who are going to return, Ligvulam. They know it's their land, it's their place, and that's where they're going to go. Isn't it awesome to read this on a Rosh Hashanah and take a look around, take a look at yourself, go take a look at yourself, and maybe shed a little tear of Hakaras Hatov, gratefulness. The Mama Ruchu, she stood up for us over there. I mean, was it Menachem Parash who said in the early Oslo Agreement, well, the Eibishter Hupiten, Kever Rachel was not under Israeli sovereignty. One of the great moments in Menachem Parash's life, he went in to Yitzchak Rabin and he started crying like a baby. The Mama Ruchu, she can take care of all of Klal Yisrael, and this little Klal Yisrael can't take care of one mama. So, well, he shook him up. So that's why you have that, you finally have those walls and things you can get into Kever Rachel. How could anybody ever have entertained the idea of giving up Kever Rachel at some point? It blows the mind.
Save that
when we come to the parasha of Yosef, and we'll talk about Yosef. Okay, all right. Very good. I agree with you. It's all right. Okay. So what it means is, number one, we have to understand why we are here, and we have to understand that the Rebbeinu Shlomo listens to prayer. There is a sentence in the big Tachlum that we say on Mondays and Thursdays, I'm ready to bet. Most people don't pay attention because we want to finish it fast. Avinu Malkeinu Asei Imanu Os Litova. For years we've been playing Chabeshon, make a sign for good. Gather in our exiles from all corners of the world. You know what? He did it. Do we notice that he did it? Do we notice that all of our prayers were fulfilled? I don't know if we get it. I know one group of people that are going to get it. That's for sure. You all got it. Asei imanu os letova. All right. This is Rachel. Shamor Shamati Ephraim Mitnodeid. I'm going to go quickly because there's something here we must learn. Shamor Shamati Ephraim Mitnodeid. I have heard that Ephraim is sort of shaking back and forth. Ephraim is going through a process of tshuva. Yisartani, you chastised me. For Ifaser, and I have accepted your chastisement. Ke'egelo lumad Ephraim was like like an untrained calf. Hashiveni, this is Aseret you made, Shuva. Hashiveni, bring me back for Shuva, and I will return. Ke'ato Hashem Elokai, because you are God, my God. Ki acharei shuvi nichamti. After I did tshuva, I regretted. Acharei hivadi, and after I knew the extent of my sinfulness, safakti al yadech. The clap like this. Oy vey, what did I do? Boshti v'gam nichlamti. I was embarrassed. I was ashamed. Gam nechlamti ki nosati cherpat meudai, because I carried the shame, the disgrace of my youth. Let's turn over quickly for a moment. Let it not be said we didn't look at the second sign. Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, second chapter, Halacha Bet Umahi HaTshuva. The Rambam asks, what is the definition of tshuva? Who? Shiazov hachotei cheta over yisiro imachshavto, that a person should remove the sin. From doing the sin, remove it from his mind. The Barbelibo, when he should make a decision in his heart, Shalom Yasehu O. He makes a decision, never going to do it again. Shenema, how do we know that? This is from another Haftarah. This is the Haftarah that we're going to read on Tzom Gedaliah this coming Sunday. It's the Haftarah for every fast day. Yazov Rosho Darko V'yish Oven Machshevotav Amen should forsake his sinfulness. V'chein Yitnachem Al Sha'avar. He should also regret the past. Where does the Rambam learn that you should regret the past? Our pasuk. Shenema Ki Acharei Shuvi Nichamti. Now there's something very fascinating over here. Wait a minute. Shouldn't regret come before tshuva? Acharei tshuvi. After I did tshuva, nichamti, I regretted. It should be precisely the opposite. I regretted and then I did tshuva. But the real pshat over here is the following. There's a regret that comes before tshuva, and there is a profound regret that comes after tshuva. After tshuva, when a person has already rebuilt and revitalized his relationship with the Rebbeinu, he begins to think to himself, they, how could I have acted the way I did? Look how my life has changed by virtue of the fact that I now have a healthy, a good, a loving relationship between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The real depth of regret is felt only after the tshuva. The third aspect of tshuva, this is the most difficult of all. V'yod olav yodea talumos, the one who knows all secrets, should be able to testify about him, shelo yoshuv l'zeh achet l'olam, that he's not going to return to that sin ever. Shenema, as it says, and this is, it's unbelievable, we got it all. This pasuk comes from another Haftarah. This pasuk comes from the Haftarah of Shabbos Shuvah. V'lo nomar od Eloheinu l'maaseh yodeinu. We will no longer say that which we made with our own hands is our God. Then see what the Rambam did over here? The Haftarah of Tainus Tzibur. That, you know what? Wait a minute. Is it every year like that? No. These three Haftarahs come in a row. On Friday is the second day of Rosh Hashanah, we're going to read this Haftarah. Ki Acharei Shuvi Nichamti. Okay? Shabbos Shuvah, we're going to read V'lo Nomad Od Eloheinu L'maaseh Yodeinu. Sunday is Tzom Gedaliah. You know what we're going to read there? Yazov Rosh Hadarko V'yishav and Machshavotav. There must be something significant to the fact that these three Haftarahs this year come in a row, because usually Shabbos Shuva comes at some later point. It doesn't always come immediately after Rosh Hashanah. So we have the three fundamental principles of Shuva appear in the three Haftarahs that follow in succession one after another. It's blowing my mind right now. I never thought of this before. So you have to give me a moment to recover from the... I'm going to read the last pasuk. So what will happen over here, because the fact is, I'm going to tell you the truth. The thrust of the shiur was supposed to have been on the idea and the significance of busha. Shame. I have a Gemara about shame. The Maharal talks about the power of being ashamed that you did an Aveira. Gemara says a person does an Aveira and he's ashamed of himself, is immediately forgiven. Shame. What a such a stupid thing. I'm so embarrassed. Who's he embarrassed of? Nobody knows the Aveira did it. Only he knows the Aveira. The Rebbeinu knows. That's what he's embarrassed of. That's a great madrega when you're embarrassed of the fact that the Rebbeinu knows that you did that avera. Less possible. So that's what the shiur was supposed to be about. So Mirat Hashem, next year we'll talk about busha. Busha is a very wide. Maral has a great deal to say about busha. Haben Yaki Le Ephraim, is not Ephraim my most precious son? Im Yelet Sha'ashuim, a delightful, a joy of a child. Whenever I talk about him, Zochores Kedem Rov, God says, I remember him. I love that Yingalah. Homo may I lo, therefore my inner self yearns for him. I will be merciful toward him. Noam Hashem, says God. What struck me, what an unusual pasuk. The day on which we read the story of Akedas Yitzchak. For Ephraim, put in the place of Ephraim, Yitzchak, the Rabbi Shem understands the great love that Avraham Avinu has for Yitzchak. The Rabbi Shem loves and his innards are turned upside down when he thinks, just thinks of Ephraim. And God has many children. Avraham has one. The Navi, in a sense, is giving us a picture that God understands the great devotion of an Avraham Avinu who is ready to bring his son on the Akedah. Why do we read it on the second day of Rosh Hashanah? Do I have to answer that question, or has that question been answered 10 times during the course of this year? Everything from the idea that Rachel was remembered on Rosh Hashanah. God listens to our prayers and he keeps his promises, and we are living proof of the promises that he kept. A Torah that gives us an insight into what the essence of tshuva really is. Boshti, nichlamti, acharei shuvi, after I did tshuva, I had great regret. That's the essence of tshuva. For this and many other reasons, we read this Haftarah on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. To all of you, I want to wish you a ksivet of ksivet teva, guten zund yor. And remember, we have to have in mind that there are all sorts of forces out there in the world that are arrayed against us. And we just have to remind the Rebbeinu Sholem, he has a job to do. He has a job to do. And he said, he made a promise in this Haftorah, Mizoreh Yisrael Yikatzenu, the one who dispersed Israel, will gather them in Ushmoro. He's going to take care of Klali, so he's going to watch over us, Kiro'eh Edro, as a shepherd does his shepherd. Mizmol David, Hashem Ravi, Lo Echsa, Chag Sameach.